Father, I want to hear your voice. That should be our prayer as we look forward for the continuation of the series on Jordan Crossing. May the Lord enable us to learn spiritual lessons through his word. Let us not get distracted here and there, but let us have an undivided attention to the listening of God's word. We don't know how the Lord speaks to us. So may we be very conscious of the presence of the Lord in our midst, the still small voice of the Lord, which we want to listen. Gracious Father, loving God, we pray that you may speak to us, Lord. Father, you're our heavenly Father, the one who loved us. You have been so mindful of me, Lord, and each one of us. You are so merciful. Lord, you are a marvelous God. You are a wonderful God. And you have forgotten my sins, having forgiven them. What more can I do, Lord, other than lift up the cup of salvation and offer along with your children, Lord, in the form of worship, and asking you that you may speak to us through your living word as well as we continue this series on Jordan Crossing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 7 and 8 all together, please. Shall we read through these two verses? 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 7 and 8 all together, please. As it is projected, you can join with me in reading it aloud. I hope it's clear enough. Otherwise, it is there on your sermon notes as well, all together. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. May the Lord bless this portion in order to enable us to learn more spiritual lessons through this series of Jordan Crossing. I hope you have filled in the empty blanks in this particular two verses. Stood by the Jordan so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Crossing the Jordan. There are many truths that we have been learning through this Jordan Crossing, and may the Lord enable us to learn even more today, along with the things that we have learned in the past as well. This is a story that we have been studying through even in the past week. We have gone through another aspect about the power of prayer through the life of Elijah. Power of prayer through the life of Elijah. So Elijah, if you want to just remember again, Elijah means Elohim is Yahweh, El-Yah, or Eliah, Eliah. Elijah means Elohim. Elohim means God. Is Yahweh, Yahweh or Yehovah or Lord. Elisha. Elisha means Elohim is Shua. Elohim is Shua. In other words, he is salvation. If you see the book of 1 Kings chapter 2, 1 Kings chapter 2, maybe we can look at another portion. 2 Samuel chapter 5. It's there in both the places, so I'll try to let us look in here. 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. 14, 15, and 16. I'll read it. Please listen to this carefully. 2 Samuel chapter 5. 14, 15, and 16. Now these are the names of those who were born to him in Jerusalem. Talking about David. Shamua, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon, Ibhar, Elishua, Nepheg, Zaphia, Elishama, Eliada, and Eliphelet. In verse 15, Elishua. Elishua and Elisha are variants. They both have a same root word. Elishua is also in a short form called Elisha. Okay? If you look at both the words on the right side, Yahweh and Shua, Joshua. Joshua, we know Joshua. What does Joshua mean? The Lord is salvation. Elishua means God is salvation. Talking about the salvation of God. So these two names are wonderful names to be able to even meditate upon, to know that Elohim, God, is Yahweh, or Yahweh is God. And Elohim is Shua, means his salvation. And these two names are given to these two wonderful prophets of God during the time of the divided kingdom. During the time of the divided kingdom, as I showed you this one last time as well, the United Kingdom of Israel during the time of Saul and David, it was this whole blue area is the kingdom of Israel ruled by Saul, David, and Solomon. But after Solomon, it got divided into two major kingdoms, kingdom of Israel containing the 10 tribes and kingdom of Judah, which contained Judah and Benjamin. Two tribes of Judah and Benjamin became the kingdom of Judah. The capital of Judah was Jerusalem, and the capital of Israel was Samaria. And part of the kingdom of Israel was on the west, on the east side of the Jordan River. The Jordan River connects the Sea of Galilee here and the Dead Sea. In between is the Jordan River. So kingdom of Israel existed in both the sides of Jordan. And these two prophets, Elijah and Elisha, were primarily the prophets for the kingdom of Israel. There were other prophets for the kingdom of Judah as well. There was a time when Elisha was also dealing with one of the kings of Judah, who was Jehoshaphat. But just wanted to give you an understanding about these two kingdoms and how or in what context do we see these two prophets, Elijah and Elisha. Elijah, we have meditated upon his life last week, how he was an ordinary man, but he was a man of prayer, which enabled him to be able to see extraordinary things through his life. God used him mightily. There was a point of time that Elijah was going through troubled times. Jezebel was after him, trying to kill him. And Elijah was so scared, he became so fearful. And he goes towards Mount Horeb. And he cries out to the Lord, "Take my life." But God spoke to him, "No." A lot of people nowadays, we hear about taking their own lives. So-called celebrities taking their own lives. When something happens, the first thing that comes into their mind is, do something which God doesn't like. In terms of taking their own life as well as one of the ways. But God didn't allow that. If you see in 1 Kings chapter 19, it talks about Elijah, who was going through the troubled times, unable to know what the next steps are. Just to give you a background of it, 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. And God strengthened him as he was fleeing from Jezebel. For 40 days, he ate food so that he was able to survive for 40 days and 40 nights. And he traveled to Horeb, the mountain of God, in verse 8. And then he hears the still small voice of God. There were so many voices, but he could be able to hear one aspect about it. He was able to hear the still small voice of God. In verse 13, when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle. Notice the word, the mantle. Mantle is a covering, a coat, and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah? I've been very zealous for the Lord." And he says, "People are killing me. I'm left alone. I'm the only prophet." And then, verse 15, the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you have arrived, you shall anoint Hazael the king over Aram or Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint king over Israel." And notice this, verse 16. "Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place." Elisha, God said, "You are not alone. I know I am with you, but there is someone along with you who would be Elisha." And then he meets Elisha, and we notice what happens over it in verse 19. He goes and finds Elisha, the son of Shaphat. And towards the end it says, Elijah passed over to him and threw his mantle over him. To be able to tell there is something happening. And that is the introduction of Elijah with Elisha. Elijah was a prophet of God, but Elisha now started going along with him. What was Elisha doing? If you just look at one portion about Elisha. Elisha, it talks about him in 2 Kings chapter 2, he was all along with Elijah. He was all along with Elijah. And we will see many things that we can learn about Elisha. So, chapter 3, let's look at it. Chapter 3 and verse 11. But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" And one of the kings of Israel's servants answered and said, "Elisha, the son of Shaphat is here, who used to pour water on the hands of Elijah." Or in other words, he used to serve, he used to go along. He was a second man, in other words, after Elijah. And Elisha didn't mind to be able to even pour water on the hands of Elijah or to be able to be of help. He didn't want to take up the primary position, but he was ready to be able to pour water so that Elijah could wash his hands. In other words, he was serving another man of God. That was the life of Elisha, a humble man who knew what it means to serve the Lord and serve the Lord's people. And now, let us look at verse 1. The story begins about Elijah and Elisha. "And it came about, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah by a whirlwind to heaven, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal." Elijah knew that the time has come for him to leave this earth. The Lord was about to take Elijah by a whirlwind or a windstorm or a twister, in other words. That is a word that is used. Elijah knew that the time had come. What did he do? That Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. From Gilgal. There are certain things that we can learn in this particular aspect about Gilgal. And in verse 2, it says, "Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel.'" And then in verse 4, Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." And then in verse 6, Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." If you look at this particular picture, sometimes it's good to be able to look at from a geographical perspective. From Gilgal, they go to Bethel, and from Bethel, they go to Jericho. At Jericho, they cross the Jordan, and Elisha comes back. This is the Jordan crossing, the context we are talking about. This is the path that they have taken. Even in a worship message, we have meditated upon this particular story. But let's look at it from the Jordan crossing perspective and many truths that we can learn. This was the path that they had taken. This is a journey. Journey of a life of a man of God or a woman of God or a child of God. The journey that they had taken from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho and crossing the Jordan as well. In your sermon notes, you see that. All the four are mentioned: Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, and Jordan. All the four that we are going to see. And the path that they have taken from one place to the other place. Talking about Gilgal, what do we learn about Gilgal? The Gilgal, note it down. I'm going to let you note down these points quickly enough. About Gilgal, Gilgal reminds us of flesh. Gilgal reminds us of transaction. Gilgal reminds us of separation and also witness. In what way are these four things related to Gilgal? And they had to leave from Gilgal. What happens at Gilgal? We know the story. As part of the Jordan crossing, we went through it. Remember during Joshua, when he led the people, enabled them to cross the Jordan, they took some stones and then they put that at Gilgal. And let us look at that quickly with your bookmark here in 2 Kings chapter 2. Let us go to Joshua chapter 5. And the Lord says that you shall circumcise the sons of Israel. And in verse 8, chapter 5 and verse 8, Joshua chapter 5 and verse 8, "When they had finished circumcising all the nation, they remained in their places in the camp until they were healed." And verse 9, listen to this carefully. "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you.' So the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day." The circumcision, or in those days in the Old Testament time, it was a flesh. And there was a circumcision that had to happen. And the Lord said, "I have rolled away the reproach or the shame that the things that you have gone through from Egypt, the things that you have experienced of Egypt from you." So the name of that place is called Gilgal. Talking about the flesh, talking about a transaction that God has made with them. And the transaction that he has made with them is, I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt. Egypt symbolizes sin or bondage that we are in. The word Gilgal means rolling or a wheel that rolls. Gilgal means rolling. And God said, today I have rolled away the reproach. I have rolled away the sin that is so attached to you, or you are so you had a bondage towards. I have rolled away. There's a song that we know that we have been singing in Sunday school times as well. Rolled away, every burden of my sin rolled away. Why or how? The every burden of my sin is rolled away because of God, who loved me so much and sent his only begotten son Jesus Christ into this world. And he has rolled away my sins. He has taken away the burden of my sin at the cross. Just like the pilgrim, as he was progressing towards the cross of Calvary, and he was carrying this burden of sin, at the cross, his burden of sin rolled away. The transaction was done. When we come to the cross of Jesus Christ, and recognizing that he is the one who paid the price for me, he is the one who took care of it, it is rolled away. And the circumcision also reminds about the separation from the world as well. In terms of being able to say that I want to separate you, the transaction that he has done. And even it says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, and in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11. By the circumcision of Christ in verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Circumcision of the Old Testament and the circumcision of the New Testament, the circumcision of Christ is to be able to recognize ourselves that we are dead in sins and trespasses. We were buried with him in baptism and also raised with him through faith in the working of God. God is working in us. Gilgal represents not only the fleshly life that we were in, the bondage of sin we were in, but the transaction that happened at the cross of Calvary. So that our transgressions are gone and the transaction has made in order to separate us from this world to become the children of God. And baptism is a witness, it is a symbolism to tell everyone what God has done for us. You might say, oh, the thing has happened in my heart. But let me tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, it is a witness. You need to witness, you need to let it out through the way in which in the Old Testament time it was circumcision. Now in these present days, the circumcision of Christ, which talks about baptism. A witness, even in Joshua chapter 4, it says in verse 20, those 12 stones which they had taken from Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. We have heard about a message also on the Memorial Day as well, about the stones that were put at Gilgal to be able to be a witness or a memorial in order to let the other next generation know what these stones mean. It is a witness, my dear. Gilgal is a symbol of witnessing. Gilgal is a symbol where our fleshly life is moved towards our spiritual life. That is the beginning of our Christian life. You need to move out from that Gilgal to the next place. But before you move out, you need to have experienced the fact that there was a transaction that was done. That transaction made me get separated from this world and from sin through Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a witness for me where not only am I saved, but I'm showing forth through baptism as well, the circumcision of Christ. He has rolled away the past, the reproach of our sinful lives. That is Gilgal. Back to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. Elijah, chapter 2 and verse 2. Elijah said to Elisha, stay here please, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel. When Elijah was going from Gilgal to Bethel, Elisha couldn't stay in Gilgal only. Not just having that experience of the transaction, not just having an experience of separation and witness, he had to take the next step forward. He couldn't stay alone. He said, I want to come with you. In verse 2, as the Lord lives, as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from you over today? And he said, yes, I know. Be still. Yes, I know. Be still. If you remember the Be Still series that we had meditated upon, this was one of the sermons that we went through as well. Yes, I know. Be still. You may know many things. You may know many, many things that so-and-so is going to leave or something, you know, difficult things are coming ahead. And people, you know what they do? They will try to instigate. Do you know that? As if Elisha didn't know. Do you know this is going to happen? Have you heard? It becomes a gossip. Did you know? Did you know? Do you know? Do you know? Do you know? Elisha, as if instigating him, you know, he had to tell, yes, I know, be still. Bethel, at Bethel, they went through these situations. And at Bethel, there are certain things that we can learn about. Let us look at that. It talks about family. It talks about transformation. It talks about sanctification and word. How do we know all these? The Bethel experience, we have meditated again during Jordan crossing about Jacob. Jacob's experience at Bethel. How twice he experiences it. When he was running away, runaway crossing, remember? Runaway crossing, he crossed the Jordan. At that time, before that, he experienced the ladder in a dream and he called that place Bethel, the house of God. And on return crossing, he crossed the Jordan again. Remember that story? It's not, I hope it is still fresh. Otherwise, you go listen to that sermon again. Jacob, on a return crossing, he returned. Again, he crossed the Jordan. He comes back. And let us pick up the story from there in Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35 and verse 1. Then God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and live there or dwell there. And make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau or when you ran away from your brother, ran away crossing. Now his return crossing happened. Now he has to go back to Bethel. Verse 2. So Jacob said to his household. Jacob said to his family. Focus on the family. Gilgal experience. You have left your fleshly nature. The fleshly things that were really bothering us in terms of the bondage of sin that we are going through. Now comes the focus on the family. Not only me, but my family also. I need to care for my family. So what did he do? When God spoke to Jacob, Jacob spoke to his family. So Jacob said to his household and all who were with him, put away the foreign gods which are among you. Put away, get rid of the foreign gods. What are those foreign gods? The foreign gods whom you are trying to rely upon more than me. The foreign gods, the ones who are whom to the things or the people whom you are giving more importance than me. Put away the foreign gods which are among you. Purify yourselves and change your garments. Sanctification is essential. And let us arise and go up to Bethel. For you to be able to go to the house of the Lord, you need to experience this. As a family, go to the house of the Lord. Experience the presence of God. But before that, you put away. God is expecting us not only to have the Gilgal experience, but also the Bethel experience. To put away, to purify and change your garments and put on the garments of salvation. Put on the robe of righteousness, not self-righteousness. Let us arise and go up to Bethel and I'll make an altar there to God. Altar symbolizes worship as well. And it says, the God who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I have gone. I've gone through all the situations in my life. I ran away crossing the Jordan. I returned crossing the Jordan. I have a family now. I need to take care of my family. Are we taking care of our family? Are we taking care of the things that are essential? Are we making sure that we are putting away the foreign gods that are among us? the things that so easily entangle us and focus our attention away from God. We are so occupied in the things of this world that we forget that they are becoming idols in our lives, including our jobs, our possessions, our money, or anything that we have. We are concentrating on them. In what way can I improve myself on this, this, this? We are using the name of God, but focusing on the things of this world. Put away the foreign gods. Focus your attention upon God and His kingdom and His righteousness. He will take care of these things. But don't forget, focus your attention on this. And verse 4, so they gave to Jacob all the foreign gods they had, and the rings were in ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was near Shechem, and they journeyed there. And he built an altar in verse 7, and he called it El Bethel, because there God had revealed to himself to him when he fled from his brother. Bethel experience is where you have the revelation of God. God reveals himself to you and I. That is why we want to experience coming together into the house of the Lord and be able to fellowship with each other and see how God reveals himself to us. Sanctification and the transformation that happened in his life as well. His name was changed to Israel as well. In verse 10, God said to him, your name is Jacob, you shall no longer be called Jacob. Israel shall be your name at Bethel. He experienced the transformation in his life. Not only the transaction that has happened in Gilgal, but the transformation that happened in his life, where his own name was changed from a deceiver or a supplanter to the Prince of God, Israel. And that is what we see here, that there was a transformation. And then, verse 13, notice this carefully. Then God went up from him in the place where he had spoken with him. God spoke to Jacob at Bethel. God's word is spoken at Bethel. Bethel represents word. Gilgal represents witness. Bethel represents word. God speaking. In the house of God, we want God to speak to us, not man. That is why we have speak, Lord. We want God to speak to us. God might use humans, but it is not humans who should speak, but God speaking through the humans. And we should be able to recognize that God is speaking in the house of the Lord. God spoke to him. And in verse 14, Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he had spoken with him. He set up a pillar in the place where he had spoken with him. 35:14. God spoke to Jacob at Bethel. To be able to know, Lord, I'm here at Bethel. Speak to me, Lord. Transform me, Lord. Sanctify me, Lord. And I want to come together as a family to the house of the Lord. Bethel experience. And it didn't stop there. Not only you and I need to have a Gilgal experience of salvation, baptism, and also sanctification and meeting in the house of the Lord for worshiping the Lord and listening to the word of God. Now we see in back to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 4. Elijah said to him, Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. And they came to Jericho. The spiritual journey, if we notice, from Gilgal to Bethel, now to Jericho. What happened at Jericho? Let us see again. What happened at Jericho? Verse 5, the same set of people. Different set of people, but the same discussion. Sons of the prophets who were at Jericho approached Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? Elisha was serving Elijah. He was pouring water on the hands of Elijah. He was taking care of the many things. He was following the steps of Elijah. He was learning many things as Elijah was walking by. From 1 Kings chapter 19 onwards till 2 Kings chapter 2, he was following Elijah and his footsteps to know how to be able to live as a man of God. God trained him up to the extent of being able to say, Elisha telling, I want to go with you. I will not leave you. Many times we notice that people tend to just shy away. Enough. Enough of this person. I'm going to leave from this place. Some people leave at Gilgal. Some people leave at Bethel. You may notice at Jericho also they were together. What does Jericho symbolize? Note down the points that we can learn about Jericho. Foe. What is a foe? F-O-E. F-O-E means enemy. Transportation. Spiritual warfare. And walk. We know the story of Jericho again in the life of Joshua. Joshua, if you notice the story about how after crossing the Jordan River at the leadership of Joshua, not only do they go to Gilgal, and later in chapter 6, they go to Jericho. The walls of Jericho, they were so big, they were like fortified walls. And for them to enter and occupy the promised land, they need to be victorious over Jericho. And what did the Lord say? Lord said through Joshua, you go circle around Jericho quietly for 6 days. On the seventh day, seven times, and then you shout out to the Lord. That was the way in which God spoke. Silently go around. Quietly go around. That's what it says in Joshua chapter 6. Quietly, don't open a mouth. 6:10, Joshua 6:10 says, Joshua commanded the people saying, you shall not shout or let your voice be heard or let a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I tell you, shout and then you shall shout. They went around. They walked by faith, not by sight. They just obeyed, implicit obedience to what is being told to them. They were quiet. When they were told to be quiet, they were quiet. When they were told to shout, they shouted. Walking. Walking talks about the spiritual walk. The walk that they did all around. And Jericho. And what happened? There were transportation in terms of going around. And later we see from Jericho to Jordan also was a transportation. We'll see that later. But not only was there a transition, not only was there a transformation, but there was a transportation in terms of walking. Walking by faith, not by sight. Not knowing what will happen. All they were told is, go around, go around. That's all they were told. And there was an enemy on the other side. Foe. F-O-E means enemy. My dear, this talks about spiritual warfare. You and I not only need to experience salvation of God, the baptism of God, sanctification of God in the house of the Lord, but also outside to be able to face the situations that are happening, maybe in our own families, at our workplace, in our neighborhood, or wherever it is a spiritual warfare that you and I are in. What are we doing? Ephesians chapter 6 talks about putting on the full armor of God. Putting on the full armor of God in order to be able to face ahead of the things that are there. Wearing the belt of truth and wearing the breastplate of righteousness. Tying the belt of truth, tying the breastplate of righteousness, tying the shoes, preparing ourselves. And also, it talks about certain other aspects, about the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, the six things about the full armor of God. The spiritual warfare, it is not about fighting against flesh and blood. We are not fighting against flesh and blood, we are fighting against the principalities and powers, unseen, seen darkness, my dear brothers and sisters. The enemy we need to fight against, not flesh and blood. We are not fighting against human beings here. Let us come together and fight against the enemy. Many times, enemy wants to cause problems within, to the extent of being able to cause problems within. But if we recognize that it is the enemy's cause that is causing these problems, we will fight against the enemy rather than fighting against each other. Spiritual warfare. Jericho symbolizes the spiritual warfare only when they went around. And on the seventh day, they went seven times. They shouted out with the trumpets. And the walls of Jericho fell down. That is the experience of Jericho. Victory over the enemy. Spiritual warfare and walking by faith and not by sight. And the last one about Jordan, note it down. Father, transmission, spirit, the double portion, and work. What is all this we are talking about? Let us see that now in verse 7 of 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2, Verse 6. Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." One step at a time. The Lord has sent me to Bethel. The Lord has sent me to Jericho. The Lord has sent me to Jordan. Elijah had experienced God's direction one step at a time. Even last week also we meditated upon it. How he was sent over Jordan River to be at the brook Cherith, where the ravens provided for him. And once that brook dried up, then God told him to go to Zarephath, again crossing the Jordan River. And there was a widow that was providing for her. One step at a time. Elijah was a man of God, but he dependent on God one step at a time. Faith is taking steps one step at a time when you don't see the entire staircase. God enables us to take one step at a time. Again, I get reminded of that song by Rich Mullins. "O Lord, you are my God, and I'll praise you step by step. Step by step you lead me. I will follow you all of my days, step by step." The Lord has been teaching me from that song as well. I still cannot forget that because I learned the importance of relying on God step by step. Now, step by step, Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho, then to Jordan. God has been showing Elijah, go, go, go. Next, this is the next stop for you. Verse 7. Now 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood opposite them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan, on this side of the Jordan. On the west side of Jordan, they were standing, the two of them. Who were there two? Elijah and Elisha. And verse 8. Elijah took his mantle and folded it together, struck the waters, and they were divided here and there, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. This is another wonderful miracle that has happened, where people crossed on dry ground, crossing Jordan. Many times, all we remember about Jordan, crossing Jordan, is Joshua's time. After Red Sea, Jordan. But there is another incident that has happened where two people crossed. I don't know how the flow of water was. Definitely during Joshua's time, there was a continuous flow of water and it had to be separated. In here, God wanted to show forth his power. At Jordan, God separated the Jordan River through the mantle that was given. Remember the mantle that was put on Elisha, talking about the pass it on, the sermon title also, pass it on, the mantle. And here we notice, verse 9, when they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, and what shall I do for you before I'm taken from you?" And Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." Double portion of your spirit be upon me. What is this double portion? The double portion talks about double blessings. Double blessings in the life and ministry that is there ahead. God wanted to make sure that Elisha would ask a question like this. Elijah would ask a question like this. If I were in that place, probably I'm thinking, and if Elijah ask, and what shall I do for you? Having seen all the situations that are happening, what could be the possible request that we could ask? Elijah said, "Ask, what shall I do for you before I'm taken from you?" It is an open-ended question. What do you want? What shall I do for you? What would your answer be? All this while you have followed Elijah. Now Elijah is taken up, going to be taken up. Ask, and what shall I do for you? One probable way in which Elisha could have answered is, "Enough of this, take me along with you. I cannot handle the things of this. I have been following you, I will follow you with you also all the way, wherever you are going." Instead he said, "Let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." What does double portion mean? You know, there are many incidents that have happened even in Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 17. It says, the firstborn, by giving him a double portion of all that he has. Hannah, she said in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 5, that he would, but to Hannah he would give a double portion. Elkanah gave a double portion, for he loved Hannah, though her womb was closed. Double portion. And Job also, he had experienced difficult times in Job chapter 42 and verse 10. We see that he was given double portion of what he had before. Double portion talks about blessing. Double portion talks about the fact that Elisha didn't ask for anything else other than the fact that now that you are gone, I want to be able to experience the Spirit of God that lies upon you to be able to have a double impact through me so that I would not feel the loss of you. That was what he was asking. And then verse 10, Elijah said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." If you see me while I am taking from you, you see me while I am going up. Verse 11, "As they were going along and talking, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire which separated the two of them. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind to heaven." They were separated once across the Jordan. And there was a request of Elisha as well. Verse 12, Elisha saw it and cried out. Notice this carefully. Somebody please read verse 12.
Elisha saw it and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more. He took hold of his own clothes, tore them into two pieces.
Yeah, Elisha, what did he say? "My father, my father." He was able to experience Elijah as his spiritual father. One day, that spiritual father was leaving and he was able to see, "Oh, my father, the chariots of fire and the horsemen." And he saw Elijah no more. He was able to see Elijah being taken up. And he used that term, father. Two times he used, father, father. Today on Father's Day, to be able to remember that Elisha experienced Elijah as his father. In order to be able to see Elijah pass on the mantle to Elisha, pass it on. What did he do? The mantle of Elijah in verse 13. "He also took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and returned and stood by the bank of Jordan." My father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." He was able to see how Elijah was taken up into heaven. There was no burial that has happened to Elijah. There was another person in the Bible where he just disappeared. Who was it? Enoch. And Elijah as well. He was taken up into heaven and Elisha saw. If you see me going up, then you will be able to experience the double portion. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. In verse 14, "He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and struck the waters and said, 'Where is the Lord God of Elijah?' And when he had struck the waters, they were divided here and there and Elisha crossed over." When they initially crossed over, the two of them crossed over Jordan. He saw Elijah being taken up. My father," he said. And the mantle was left with him. The coat, or, you know, just like a relay race. You know how the relay race happens? You go around, and then the next person takes that, and then runs. You need to pass it on, pass on the baton. Elisha was constantly being with Elijah, seeing how things are moving on, but a time had come upon the departure of Elijah that the mantle or the baton was passed on to Elisha. Pass it on. Prepare the next generation of God's people. As a father, it is our responsibility to be able to make sure that the next generation walks in the truth. You need to pass on the work of the Lord as well. Upon your departure, what will happen? Pass it on. Pass on the mantle. Elijah did that to Elisha. At Gilgal, at Bethel, at Jericho, at Jordan, Elisha was able to see Elijah. Not only that, before that also he was able to see. And that is what we notice. There was a transmission. The transmission of the things that were passed along. He passed on. The next generation of the ministry to Elisha. And he had a double portion of the Spirit so that he could work for the Lord's sake. Not for his personal glory. If you read the character of Elisha, wonderful ways in which we see, and somebody tried to count the miracles and the prophecies of Elijah and Elisha, and Elisha's were double the number of Elijah. Double the number. Just to be able to say, I don't think it is a coincidence. Double spirit that was given to Elisha was able to be seen in the work and life and ministry of Elisha in the absence of Elijah. Yesterday I was talking to one of the aunties where she was mentioning that her mom, during the funeral time, she remembered that her mom was continuously praying about many things, and she was reminded of the fact that now that my mom is gone, I'm going to take that up. I'm going to take that mantle up. I'm going to continue praying. And she's been continuously doing that. I was just remembering how Elijah passed it along to Elisha. Pass it on. There is nothing else that you can pass it on other than being able to pass on the heritage of your faith and the ministry that is there, that the Spirit of the Lord may work wonderfully through the next generation as well. Oh, my dears, on this Father's Day, I want to remind each one of us that we should be like that. Elisha, you know how he was? He was able to experience the same thing, just like Elijah was a father. We read in chapter 2 and verse 12, my father, he said that, right? And again, if you notice 2 Kings chapter 13 is the life of Elisha that was ending. Verse 14, somebody could you please read?
Elisha had become sick with the illness of which he would die.
Elisha was going to die now. Yes.
Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen.
Wonderful. You see the life of Elisha? Elisha's life also was like Elijah, where somebody else, the king of Israel, was able to say, my father, whatever Elisha experienced with Elijah was able to be seen in the next generation as well, where Elisha, when he was dying, we could see the same statement that was being talked about, the chariots and horses of fire. Elijah was taken up through the whirlwind and Elijah died. That is not what we are talking about, but we are talking about how it was passed on. He was like a father, my dear. He was like a father. Somebody mentioned about the way in which we need to experience the double portion of the Spirit of God in us. All of us attend the same fellowship here. We all listen to the same word, but we are like popcorns. You know how popcorns work? When you put in a popcorn, even in my workplace, now they're giving free popcorn at 3 o'clock. I don't know how good that is with butter and all that. So they offer that. And in that, I noticed that we have to take only one bag, not more than that, they say. Only one person, one bag. So when I keep putting it, I see some kernels of popcorn still not popped. It is the same thing, same machine. All the kernels were there. That did not, the corn that were put. But once the work is done, we still notice that there are some kernels that did not pop out. We all listen to the same word of God. But how the Holy Spirit of God is working in us, are we popping out or are we like that kernel which is not going to be used much? We are all like popcorns. We need to be like the ones who pop out saying, Lord, I thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit of God within me. I want to be bubbling with joy in working for you. I want to have the double portion of work. Whatever that person has done, I want to do double the work. I want to be used double the time for God's glory, not for my glory. Not for me to get blessings, earthly blessings. But the Spirit of the Lord to be double portion upon me. That is what we see. That needs to be experienced in your life and my life. Pass it on, my dear. I always get reminded of a song which says, it only takes a spark to get the fire going. And soon all those around can warm up it and it's glowing. That's how it is with God's love once you've experienced it. You spread his love to everyone. You want to pass it on. You want to pass it on. The fire that is in you, you want to pass it on. What a wondrous time is spring when all the trees are budding, the birds begin to sing, the flowers start their blooming. That is how it is with God's love. Once you experienced it, you want to sing. It's fresh like spring. You want to pass it on. I wish for you, my friend, this happiness that I found. You can depend on him. It matters not where you are bound. I'll shout it from the mountaintop. I want my world to know the Lord of love has come to me I want to pass it on. I want to pass it on. It is not just keeping to myself. I want to be able to see the next generation of God's people raised up. There are three kinds of fathers. Heavenly Father, whom we have worshipped during the worship time. The one who has loved us and he has begotten us through the love that he has shown that he sent his only begotten son Jesus Christ into this world so that we become the children of God. Heavenly Father. Then there is an earthly father. The ones who are fathers. The children that we are begetting. We thank the Lord for enabling us to have children. For those of us and those who are not yet married or are waiting to have children. May the Lord bless you on this regard. Earthly fathers. And then there's a third set. Heavenly Father, earthly father, spiritual fathers. Spiritual fathers. Elijah was a spiritual father to Elisha. Maybe the earthly father might be a spiritual father. Maybe somebody else may be a spiritual father for you. On this Father's Day, let us thank the Lord for the heavenly father. Let us thank the Lord for the earthly fathers. And let us also thank the Lord for the spiritual fathers who have been taking care of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 15. Please read 1 Corinthians, the letter, first letter to Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. Yes, you have countless teachers, lot of preachers, but you do not have many fathers. In Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Spiritual father. Paul the apostle was a spiritual father to Timothy. He was able to know how to be able to pass on to the next generation. When Paul was going to die, he knew that somebody else was going to take care of the ministry as well. My dear brothers and sisters, how are we dealing as earthly fathers? David, if you read 1 Kings, I think it's chapter 2, he tells his son, he passes on the baton to his son. David says, oh my son, I had the desire to build the house of the Lord, but I could not build it. God did not allow me to build it. I have gathered everything for you to take care of building the house of the Lord. You take it on, I'm going to die. But you let the work of the Lord continue. Let the fire on the altar be burning. Never let it go down. It should move on. It just cannot stop because of one person. The Lord's work should continue. As fathers, how are we like David, who told, be strong, be a man. Be a man. Fathers, let us read that quickly. 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. Please read. Yes, verse 2. I'm going the way of all the earth. I'm going to die. Be strong, therefore, show yourself a man. Fathers, are we able to pass it on to our children? The mantle of our faith that we have to be able to build up the next generation. There is no greater joy than to see our children walking in the truth. They may go through their studies, get wonderful grades, etc. That is good. I'm not saying that it is not good. How about their spiritual life? Have they come to know the Lord yet? If you are so much concerned about their education, well and good, but how about their spiritual life? Have they received Christ as their personal Savior? Can they openly say, Jesus is my Savior? Can they take that mantle from you and pass it on to the generation after generation? That is the greatest heritage that you can pass along, my dear. Today on this Father's Day, I want to challenge every father, including myself. Let us be the ones who can pass it on. Fathers, begetting children is the starting point. Taking care of the children, being responsible to bring them up in the fear of the Lord and passing on the mantle, it is your responsibility and my responsibility. Let us be not only the earthly fathers, but also the spiritual fathers of our children. May the Lord bless this word and enable us. And thank the Lord for the Heavenly Father who was ready to give his only son as a sacrifice for all of us. Pass it on, my dear. Elijah was like that. He was ascended into heaven and he passed on that commission, transmission to Elisha. Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and he let his disciples pass it on. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God, it says in Acts chapter 1. And they were able to go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Elijah is a representation of Jesus Christ in terms of ascending into heaven, having done his work. And he passed it along to the next generation. And we are able to see that even in our generation. And our prayer is that it will continue generation after generation till the second coming of Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless this word.